Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I am reading 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. The Apostle Paul addresses this epistle, this letter which was inspired of God by God's Holy Spirit, to the Church of God located in the city of Corinth. Notice what Paul says about the church in this passage of Scripture and how he identifies them. As the church, they belong to God. They are the Church of God located in Corinth. The church was sanctified in Christ. The church was called to be saints. The church was those who had called upon the name of Jesus Christ. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. The church is the divine body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is made up, composed of members who have been sanctified by God's Holy Spirit, who have been called to be the saints of God, and unto those who have called upon the name of Jesus Christ. Later in this epistle at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, Paul declares unto them that the gospel had been preached unto them. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. The existence of the Lord's church is dependent upon the preaching of the gospel. The gospel is the good news of salvation that has been brought to us by God's Holy Spirit. The gospel was delivered by God's holy apostles and prophets and has been preserved through the ages of time so that you and I might be able to hear the gospel preached, might be able to read the gospel in the pages of the Bible, and might come to an understanding of God and His church. In this passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2, Paul said, "The gospel was preached. I preach the gospel unto you. The gospel had been received, which ye have received." They had obeyed the gospel. They had responded in a positive manner to the message that Paul had preached unto them. They were standing are abiding in the gospel. One must receive the gospel which he hears so that he might be saved. One must continue to stand or abide in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel saved them, by which also ye are saved. The gospel must be preached. The gospel must be received. We must live according to the terms of the gospel. And the gospel will save us. The gospel will save us from sin. The gospel will save us from the darkness of evil. The gospel will save us from the eternal verdict of the wicked. The gospel is God's power to save and preserve humanity. Earlier in this epistle, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." God's power to save is the gospel. When Paul writes this epistle to the Corinthians, he identifies them as the church, telling them that they are saints because of their sanctification in Christ. They are such because the gospel was preached, the message of God, the power of God. Paul had preached the gospel, the cross, unto those at Corinth. The central message of the gospel is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, Paul said that as he had preached the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. When we go back to the sermon at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, we see that Peter preached Jesus Christ. He preached the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ. This is the message of the gospel, and this message has the power to save. Those who receive this message or obey this message and live according to this message or abide in the gospel are saved because they make up the church. Romans 1 verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The gospel is God's power to save. It has always been interesting to me that God placed his message of salvation in the spoken word. God wanted men to go forth and preach the gospel of Christ so that the lost could hear and be saved. Did not Jesus come preaching? Was not Jesus a preacher who preached righteousness, who preached salvation unto the multitudes? The apostles who followed him and were given the commission by him to go into the world preached the gospel. Paul has been commissioned to preach the gospel, and he goes to the city of Corinth. And there, because of the message which he preached and their reception of it, these Corinthians had become the church of God. The church comes into existence when the gospel is preached, the gospel is received, and people live according to the terms of the gospel. Paul said that those who believe will be saved. Those who believe or embrace the terms of the gospel become the church. Not everyone that hears the gospel believes the gospel and obeys the gospel. There are many, many people today who reject the gospel of Christ. What about you who hear this message this day? What will be your response to the message of the gospel? Does the gospel of Jesus Christ have an effect in your life? Does it determine the way you live, the way you walk from day unto day? The gospel brings to you a new relationship of life, a relationship with Christ, because you become the church. These Corinthians had obeyed the gospel. In Acts 18 and verse 8, we have the account of Paul's visit to the city of Corinth. He went down to Corinth and he preached, he taught. Acts 18:8, many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Let us compare this passage of Scripture with 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. Paul writes to the church of God at Corinth, where he had preached the gospel, and many that heard him preached, believed, and were baptized. As a result, they had been sanctified in Christ Jesus. They had become saints. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2, they had received the gospel. They were standing in the gospel, and by that gospel, they would be saved. The effect of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the reception by those who believe, whereby they will be saved because they become the church. The church, the gospel, the power of God unto salvation, this is God's plan for humanity. God determined that his gospel would be preached, people would hear, believe, obey, receive the gospel, live according to the gospel, and were to be identified as the church. The church is that peculiar body of people that have heard the gospel of Christ and have believed the gospel and are living according to the gospel. These Corinthians heard, believed, and were baptized. We must be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. In Acts chapter 2, we find that the gospel was preached, there was a command that was given, and there was a result. Acts 2, verse 14, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Peter begins this sermon in verse 14 of Acts chapter 2. This sermon continues through verse 36 of Acts chapter 2. Read these verses of Scripture. Read this powerful message that Peter preached concerning Christ, how he died, was crucified by wicked hands, how he was buried, and how he arose from the dead to become Lord and Christ. This is the message that Peter preached. Verse 37 tells us that these who heard him were pricked in their heart. They were convicted of their sin. Peter had accused them that they were the ones who had crucified Christ. Ye have taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain. As a result, they said, What shall we do? What must we do? People must do something when they hear the gospel. They must receive the gospel. There is an action of faith that must take place. Verse 38, Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Notice what Peter tells them. They have heard the gospel. They ask, What shall we do? What can we do to remedy the situation of our lives? What can we do so that we are not condemned because of this sin of crucifying Christ? What must you and I do today so that we are not condemned for the sin in our life? Peter said, Repent and be baptized. Every one of them were to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus had commissioned his disciples in Mark 16, 15, and 16, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Jesus said, Go preach the gospel. Those who believe the gospel and are baptized will be saved. Those who do not believe will be condemned. And so Peter said to this multitude in Acts 2:38, Repent and be baptized, because this is the command, the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must obey the commands of Christ. Jesus said, If ye love me, ye will keep my commandments. If we truly love Christ, we will do as Christ has said. We will accept his offer of pardon, which comes through his death upon the cross, through the mercy and grace of God, by our obedience or by our receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter said, Those of you who repent and are baptized will have the remission of sins, the forgiveness of sin, the removal of sin, the taking away of sin, the washing away of sin. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost would be given as a sign or a seal of their salvation. It would be an earnest or a guarantee that God would make unto those who repented and were baptized, becoming his church, that they would be saved at the great day of judgment and would be privileged to live with him and the Lord Jesus Christ in the place called heaven throughout all eternity. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Ephesians 1, 13, 14. As a result, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. As we read Acts chapter 2, we see that the gospel was preached, There was a question asked, there was a command that was given, and there was a result that came. The result of preaching and their repentance and baptism was the church. The church comes when the gospel is preached and people obey the gospel, receive the gospel, and are forgiven of sin. We become the church of the Lord Jesus Christ because of God's love for humanity, which is proclaimed in the gospel of Christ, and our obedience or our reception of the gospel. Let us believe what we hear in the gospel of Christ. Let us accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior through our repentance and our baptism into Him. Christ promised the church. The church is the divine appointment of Almighty God. Some scoff at the church today. Some refuse to have anything to do with the church. Some want to follow Christ and obey Christ, but want nothing to do with the church. Jesus Christ came into the world and promised to build or to establish His church. In Matthew chapter 16, we have Jesus coming into the region of Caesarea Philippi. And there He asked a question of His disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They responded according to the various opinions that people had of Jesus. And these opinions, or these judgments of the mind, human mind, were incorrect. Sometimes we can have an opinion that is wrong. We need to test all that we believe according to the Scriptures. We need to make certain that what we believe, how we live, is according to the standard, the pattern that God has delivered unto us in the New Testament. Our opinion in politics, and our opinions in finance, and our opinions in education, our worldly opinions really have no bearing upon the eternal welfare of our soul. But our opinion of Jesus has everything to do with the salvation of our soul. Jesus said, "Whom do ye say that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's who He was, that's who He is, and that's who He will be, always and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, yea, and forever. Hebrews 13, verse 8. At verses 18 and 19, Jesus said, Matthew 16, "That thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Jesus said, "I will build my church." Nothing will interfere with that. The gates of hell, death, would not stop the establishment of the church. Oh, Jesus would be crucified, but He would be raised from the dead. God always triumphs. God always brings to fruition His divine purpose. Jesus said, "I will build the church, and in the building of the church I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Jesus unites the church and the kingdom. Christ promised to build the church. Christ died to purchase the church. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul writes, or is speaking to the elders of Ephesus, and he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood." Here the Apostle says that the church of God has been purchased with the blood of Christ. We have redemption because of the blood of Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 7. We have the removal of sin by the blood of Christ, Revelation 1, verse 5. We have the purchase of the church with the blood of Christ, Acts 20, 28. The blood that redeems, the blood that cleanses us of sin, is the blood that purchased the church. Do you see the union of Christ, salvation, and the church? Do you see how those who are redeemed from sin are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Christ had purchased the church with his blood. Ephesians 5 and verse 25, Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Jesus loved the church to the extent that he gave himself for it. The true value of an object is what we are willing to pay for that object. How we value something is determined by what we are willing to pay for it. Jesus determined the value of the church by giving himself for the church. Jesus died so that he might purchase the church. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. Let us honor the church and sanctify the church and hold the church in high regard, because the death at Calvary's cross of the Lord Jesus Christ was the payment price for the church. Jesus gave himself for the church. The church was important to God. The church was important to the Lord Jesus Christ. The church must be important unto us. Paul tells the church at Ephesus that Christ gave himself for the church because of his love for the church. The saints at Ephesus were purchased. Ephesians 1, 13, 14, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." The Ephesians in Ephesians 1 and verse 1 are called saints. The church of God at Corinth were called saints. The church was purchased, Acts 20, 28, Ephesians 5, 25. The saints at Ephesus were the purchased possession of God. They were the church. As the purchased possession of God, we are the church. If we surrender ourselves to the terms of the gospel, we become the church. The church is God's habitation. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, Paul says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." The church, according to the Apostle Paul writing to young Timothy, is the house of God. It is the church of the living God. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The truth of God is established in the church. The church is to proclaim the truth of God. The church is the house of God. In the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah, at chapter 2 and verse 3, this prophet predicted, "Many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Here the Old Testament prophet speaks of the house of the God of Jacob. And from that house he would teach us of his ways, and the law would go forth, and the word of the Lord. The church, the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, fulfills the ancient prophecy made by Isaiah in chapter 2 and verse 3. Further, in Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners." They had been separated from God because of sin. But they had been redeemed by Jesus. They had heard the gospel and they had received the gospel. "But now you're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." The Ephesians were of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. The importance of this passage of Scripture shows us the relationship that the Ephesian saints had with the Lord Jesus Christ and with God the Father. they were the household of God. This house had been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Upon Christ the church is built. Upon the teaching of the apostles and prophets the church is established. Paul says that this building is fitly framed together so that it grows into a holy temple in the Lord. The Ephesians are builded together for a habitation of God. Do you see the importance of the church? Do you see the relationship that Jesus has with His church and how the church is important to God? The church is God's habitation, where we are the fellow citizens with the saints. We are the household of God. Because of our relationship to Christ through the gospel and our having become the sons and daughters of Almighty God, because we have heard the gospel, received the gospel, are standing in the gospel, and as a result, the gospel will save us. The church is that community of people who have heard the gospel, received the gospel, been baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ after repenting of sin, and becoming the house of God, the saved of God. The church is not only God's habitation, but the church is the kingdom of God. In Colossians 1 and verse 2, Paul says, "To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." The Colossians had been the recipients of the grace of God, and as a result, they are identified as the saints and faithful brethren in Christ Jesus. We see the importance of being the brethren of Christ in Romans chapter 8, where we become the heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Remember, the church of God at Corinth were saints. Here the Colossians are saints. But further, Paul says in verse 13 of Colossians 1, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." As saints, they had been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. The church is God's kingdom upon the earth, where those who receive the gospel become saints, the household of God. They had been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Hebrews 12, 23 and 28, the writer says, "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn," Jesus is the firstborn, according to Colossians chapter 1, "which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." Notice the church. Names written in heaven. Just men made perfect. Oh, the church must be received. The church must be adored. The church must be of great value to us. Verse 28. "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." The writer of the Hebrew letter is speaking to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. A few verses later, he declares they had received a kingdom which cannot be moved. As the kingdom, we are to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. I hope and pray that as you have heard this lesson, you see the divine importance of the church, and that you would desire to become a member of the church. We have noticed that the gospel is preached, the gospel is received, are obeyed, and we see how the gospel was received in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 18. They had heard, believed, repented, and had been baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission or the forgiveness of their sins. As a result of their obedience or their reception of the gospel, they had been added to the church. They had become members of the household of God. They had become saints because they were sanctified in Christ Jesus, and they were saved. This is the church of our Lord. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.